So as Dave said this morning, this is a very familiar story to most of us. And so, yeah, as I considered it this week, yeah, how do I talk about it? What do I, is there anything new that we can learn? And so, I'll share what I learned and thought about this week, and something may strike you as new or different, or we can just sit back and listen to a story that we're familiar with and enjoy that too. How many of us have ever watched an award show on TV, the movies, those different things where they're given awards for best music, best screenplay, best male lead, best female lead, and so on, and also best supporting role or character? If you aren't into film, then you have sports, soccer, volleyball, basketball, where they are assists are kept track of. And sometimes we get caught up in fawning over the lead characters or the person scoring the points. But reality, without those supporting roles, the other roles, those lead roles would look very different or may not exist. And so this morning, I want to think about the vital and supporting role that Joseph played in the story of Jesus's birth and our faith story. So reading again parts of that verse 18 and 19. The birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. So Joseph and Mary's relationship, in the tradition and culture that they were living in, it was typical for couples to be promised to one another from a young age, often arranged between their parents. And once the girl reached an appropriate age for marriage, which would likely have been around the age of 12 or 13. So a little young for these days. The couple would then become engaged or betrothed. We don't actually have a good word for it in our time because they were technically and legally married. At this point, the wife would have still remained in her father's household, but legally belonging really to her husband. And if one of them would have died during that year, the other would have been considered a widow or widower. And so it can be confusing for us because sometimes it says engaged and then the husband, Joseph, but all of this is kind of taking place in that in-between time. And that time period usually lasted about a year. And so then after that year, then the husband would take the wife into his household. And so now Mary is in this situation where she is pregnant and Joseph is recognizing, you know, that's not from him. So in his mind, this would have happened because Mary would have been unfaithful. And so under the law, he could have divorced her. And some would even say there would have been a possibility of her being stoned for the actions that she is perceived to have taken. And so Joseph, being the righteous and gentle person, saying, okay, this is not the situation I want to have, but we will dismiss Mary quietly. She would either probably remain in her father's house or be sent off to a relative, maybe a little further away from the situation. And so that is the situation where Joseph, he decided this is what he's going to do, but he's not going to make a big public spectacle out of Mary. And so everyone knew that Mary and Joseph weren't living together. And so Joseph is aware he's not the father. He's going to do this. He has decided he will divorce her and move on quietly without making a big fuss. As we continue on in the verses 20 to 25, just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill the prophecy that had been spoken by the Lord. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the Lord commanded and took her as his wife, with no marital relations until she had born a son, and he named him Jesus. So Joseph learns of Mary's situation, and at this point, it would have been Mary's problem. And so Joseph, saying, nope, this is what I'm going to do, he has this dream in which he's visited by the angel of the Lord, and he's called upon as the son of David. Excuse me. But if you've read the previous 17 verses, you will know that there was a genealogy of David, of Joseph, which I know we all read thoroughly and enjoy and say, oh yes, that was exciting. Excuse me. In verse 16 of that genealogy, it says, Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born. So why does the angel address Joseph as the son of David? Joseph is likely addressed by this name to show that Joseph has direct lineage from David, King David, through Solomon. You might remember in the Old Testament, God making a covenant with David, saying in 2 Samuel, your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me, and your throne shall be established forever. And in Psalm 89, I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations. Does anyone have a cough drop? Excuse me. All this, you guys are playing excellent supportive roles. Excellent. So it seems that having the angel kind of come back and address Joseph in this way gives us a little bit of a reminder, hey, don't forget this Joseph, he's from the line of David. The angel then tells Joseph, and just so you know, Mary wasn't unfaithful. She became pregnant through the Holy Spirit. So let's pause here and consider for a moment. How many of us in Joseph's situation would have woken up from the dream and been like, yeah, that was a weird one. What am I going to do with that? I have a tendency not to remember my dreams. I think I might remember that one. But yeah, what do we do with it? Do we say, okay, I'm going for it, going to listen to this angel, or go like, that was just a little over the top. I'm not going to tell anyone. I'm just going to go on with my plans. We see that Joseph kind of takes to heart what he learns about Mary in this dream. Yes, Mary is pregnant. The baby isn't his, but the angel tells him to not be afraid because the baby's from the Holy Spirit. So to go ahead and scratch the plan of divorce and take Mary into his house and marry her and name the baby Jesus. Jesus being the Greek from the Hebrew name Joshua, meaning he saves. Joseph knew the customs and the laws and was very much within his rights to follow the law and divorce Mary. But as we know, Joseph chose a different path. And in some ways, Joseph was bucking the system, choosing instead to allow the Holy Spirit to work in the situation, letting God's mercy prevail. Joseph chose instead to support the work of God and the Holy Spirit. We might wonder how Joseph is actually a support. You know, Jesus could have been born without Joseph. Mary became pregnant without Joseph. So what exactly was the need for Joseph in that way? As we noted earlier, Joseph is from the line of David, and we're reminded of the Davidic covenant between God and David, and that his house and his kingdom would be forever. We realize that Joseph is needed for Jesus to be legally from the line of David. In Luke 3, there's another genealogy of Jesus that also says of Joseph, but is to believe to actually to be Mary's genealogy, where it also ties to David back to God. But that line is through another one of David's sons and technically does not provide the legal or royal lineage. It would give Jesus a biological tie to David, but not the legal one. But Jesus still isn't Joseph's biological father. So how does this solve the problem? In verse 25, it says, "And he named him Jesus." By Joseph naming Jesus, Joseph is legally declaring Jesus as his son. That was like an adoption process. By him doing the naming and publicly presenting him, declaring him as his son. A little different than some of the legal and adoption processes that we go through these days. So without Joseph's acceptance, we were missing a crucial part of the whole story. Also significant in the dream is naming that what is happening is a fulfillment of prophecy. It's saying, look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel. This comes from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 7. In that situation, Isaiah is speaking with King Ahaz of Judah, and there's an upcoming war, and Isaiah is telling Ahaz, don't worry about this. Actually, don't go to war. God's going to be with you. And as a sign of this, there will be a young woman who will have a child, Emmanuel, signifying that God will be with Ahaz and the people of Judah. So some people believe there were several different fulfillments of this prophecy, some soon after Isaiah and Ahaz's interaction, where Ahaz's wife bears a child, and she would have been considered a young woman. But for many, this prophecy is seen as ultimately a messianic prophecy in which Mary is the young woman or the virgin that will bear the child Jesus. Jesus being the one that people would call Emmanuel, God with us. And some people believe too that there is in there, God is with us, and also a reminder that it isn't just God with us. Sometimes I think we say that flippantly, and the is can be, it's a small word, but it can be significant, reminding is in the moments, in each step, God is present. A reminder that God is on our side. Jesus will save people from their sins, but it doesn't mean that life is going to be simple, easy, or without hardships. But because we have Emmanuel, it means that no matter what we encounter, God is with us. Joseph had the choice whether or not to listen to what the angel had said to do. I don't believe that any of us are puppets of God. We can each play a supporting role in the work that God is doing in our lives and in the world. Joseph had to decide if he was going to accept the role or pass on it and say, you know what, I think I know what's best for my life. I'm just going to step aside and take the lead in my life. And as I talked about last week, we sometimes think that we know what's best for us. We think because we have the map, we know the full picture. So we're best suited for calling the shots. But Joseph's here in this difficult situation, knowing the law and his plan to follow the law. That's his map, so to speak. Now in his dream, he's told that the baby is from the Holy Spirit, and this is all happening to fulfill prophecy. So the decision isn't so simple anymore. There seems to be a more detailed map that Joseph hasn't seen before. Do you go with tradition and law? Or do you live into the prophecy and desire to see what it might mean to have Jesus, who will save people from their sin and also embody God with us? Joseph opted for the latter, accepting the supporting role in the story of Jesus' birth, stepping into the role of Jesus' earthly father, as a supporting role to Mary, Jesus' earthly mother, and a supporting role to God, Jesus' heavenly father. How are we living into our supporting roles as followers of Jesus? As people who have been called to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us? Have we sometimes made decisions and choices that put us more in the spotlight as the lead role and been less supportive of kingdom work? As we're in this season of Advent, we can remember and celebrate the supportive roles that Mary and Joseph played in Jesus's birth. And we can live into our supportive roles as Christians, believing in and modeling our lives after Jesus, loving others, loving ourselves, loving God, serving others, caring for others, praising God. All of these sound like support. We play supportive roles in one another's lives. For many, this season of Christmas is a time full of fun, laughter, and joy. For others, this is a season of sadness and hurt from recent losses of friends or family or from trauma. May we strive to support those around us. From the Advent candle reading this morning, we are reminded that into the longest night, into our broken world, into this space and time, into our loneliness and fear, and into a world that you love, Emmanuel, God, is with us. We don't need to try and be the lead character in our own lives. We don't have to try and be the hero or the savior for those around us. That role is reserved for God. But we have the privilege of being part of that story. It was empty. Part of the complete story, but not the ones to complete the story. That is amazing things about the world and the people God created. God made us to be in relationship with one another and with God. We were not created to be solo performers living out a monologue, but part of a cast that is guided and directed by a loving and merciful God. Emmanuel, God is with us today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.